Welcome to the Taboo Podcast, hosted by me, Lexi D'Angelo, industry rule breaker, seven-figure moneymaker, and founder and head witch of the Taboo Institute. WTF is the taboo, you ask? It's the vortex of transformation that is experienced when people claim the magic of the taboo, woo, and Y-O-U. It's a way of being that invites you to question the status quo and dismantle the outdated hierarchical paradigms and structures that have been sucking your soul, and instead follow the signs of your turn on and true knowing to create fulfilling and sustainable success your way, AKA without ever sacrificing your purpose, passions, and priorities in the process. After all, I'm a firm believer that true transformation happens when you're able to unapologetically claim and express your fullest, most multidimensional self. It's time to ditch the norm, embrace the provocative, and reach next levels of impact and income by invoking the taboo.
Welcome back to another fantastic episode of the Taboo Podcast. It is the Joe and Vicky show again this week, and we are going to be talking all about astrobiology, what it is, why it's important to connect to planetary energies, and what specifically you can really gain for yourself with this knowledge and understanding of this planetary and cosmic energy, but also how you can then facilitate this for your clients. And I'm actually really, really, really excited to be talking about this, because even though it's, you know, I think, Vicky, this is probably, I was gonna say, your biggest baby content creation wise. This is exciting to me as well. There's so much to be said about this as a self-exploration system in terms of how we're combining astrology and tarot and all of these archetypes together to really formulate this system in which you can not only learn about yourself in a conceptual way, but also in how can I take all of this information and embody all of this. So I'm excited to talk about this with you today.
Me too. This is going to be, wind back. Astrobiology was born from both mine and Joe's passion for astrology and tarot. And I think each of us birthed something before we even met, and which was over a year ago. And over the time of our working together inside the Taboo Institute, I feel like we always wanted this to happen, and we didn't even know how we were going to co-create a course together until the new Taboo certification program was conceived and birthed out into the world. So astrobiology is one of the courses that we teach inside the Taboo Institute, and we've put it inside of the compartment, let's say, of the realm of flame and expression versus wind and chaos or mist and depths or matter and knowing, because astrobiology at its core is a self-discovery and self-exploration and self-acceptance system where we get to know ourselves, have this experience of who are we in the world, how do we be in the world, and how can we optimize our embodied state. So there is kind of where it came from. Have you got anything to add there, Jo?
Well, I think you hit all the nails on the head, really, but it's sort of fascinating to kind of dig into all of this. So I won't add too much, but it's, I kind of want to talk about, what is it? I mean, like, that's the biggest question like people are going to ask, and that we've had, like, even on the team, like, what is astrobiology? Like, how is it different from just learning about astrology or tarot? Because that's true. I think you went more of the astrology sort of way, and I used to teach about tarot. So it's interesting that we get to blend them together now. But what is it? What is astrobiology as a system for self-exploration, as a technique, as a concept?
Right. What is astrobiology? First of all, we didn't even know we had a name for this. We've birthed it. And then Lexi's like, right, what are you going to call this course? And we're like, oh, I don't know. And years ago, I used to use this term vibology. I called myself a vibologist, which was essentially someone who sources energetic information, vibrational medicine, let's say, for the purpose of assisting embodiment and self-expression and healing and transformation, well-being overall. So vibology, astro, obviously, astrology, vibology, astrovibology, in a sense, is the practice of using the vibrational frequency of planetary celestial energy to heal, transform, maximize, optimize the human experience. And I'm going to also answer this in a long, convoluted way. So in short, vibrational medicine from celestial planetary energies. Because it's not just planetary energies we're talking about here. It's zodiac frequencies, all celestial bodies that we can tune into and harness for vibrational medicine. So I want to talk about Gaia, planet Earth. Let's go there first. Because if we can believe or even have the idea or concept that our planet Earth is alive and conscious in its own way, then it might be easier for us to consider that other planets and celestial bodies also have their own kind of consciousness and therefore have a sentient intelligence that maybe we can communicate with intuitively. So if each celestial body has its own unique energetic signature, maybe, and because it moves in the world, like it moves through the cosmos in a specific way, in a very deliberate way, then maybe it has a purpose. If it has a unique energy signature, if it moves in a specific way, takes on a specific form, maybe it has a purpose. And can we understand what that purpose is? Ancient astrologers would have. Anyone who looked at the skies in the ancient days before there were any textbooks on astrology would have questioned that. Like, oh, it moves. Maybe it does have a purpose. Maybe it has a soul. So whether or not we read from an astrology textbook or we look to the night sky with a beginner's mind, we can consciously take the time to receive the energetic information that is being portrayed down to us, expressed down to us in the form of planetary rays. If we can perceive what's being transmitted through those rays, we can actually translate the energetic information that's coming down from us through all the planets, the sun and the moon, etc., then maybe we can experience an emotional bond with it. Maybe we can experience a mutual benefiting relationship with it. Maybe we can also amplify our sense of self through that, bring understanding to our own consciousness, our own existence. And if that supports us in invoking and expressing and embodying our own power, then wouldn't that be worthwhile exploring?
Yes. And I love earlier that you said it's a self-acceptance system as well. And so to think of it from that perspective of we can receive this energy from the planets, the cosmos, and have that mutual beneficial relationship with that specific planetary energy. But it's also sort of helping us to navigate in a lot of ways our own path, our own journey. And through our ups and downs and what we might perceive as challenges or what we might perceive as you know, issues or problems or whatever, but it's helping us to really like almost like push our edge and our limits and like, okay, I've been here before. And now how can I take all of this that I'm learning or that I can embody or harness through this planetary energy and like push further to become more of who I am.
So in many different contexts as well, for example, there is your astrological natal birth chart. And we can look at who am I, who have I been by observing that. And then on the daily, depending on what circuits the planets are taking of the sun, we get to look at where they are in relation to our daily experience, not just from the day that we were born. So yes, our natal chart has got some incredible information, like 100 and something different codes of information that we can interpret if we wanted to go there. Astrobiology has an approach whereby we're saying, okay, here is you on planet Earth. Here's the zodiac frequency. It's almost like a membrane in the sky that encapsulates Earth. Let's say this is my metaphorical interpretation of it. And then we have all of the celestial bodies that bring their rays through the zodiac membrane. So whether or not I am, if my sun is in Aries or my sun is in Aquarius, I can still look at how right now today I'm experiencing the sun and its energy. When I was born, the sun was in Aquarius. But today, where is it? Right now, the sun is in Capricorn. So I don't have to necessarily look at my natal chart to understand how I might have a relationship with the zodiac frequency of Capricorn. Now, Astrovibology 201, which is an advanced course, focuses in on zodiac frequencies and also astrological houses. Astrovibology 101, which is the first course in the series, is specifically in relation to the planetary bodies. So what if right now I'm working with the energy of Pluto because I'm going through a challenging period where I'm needing to approach things differently. So if I can have a relationship with Pluto and in a really experiential way, that for me is an enriching form of transformation and understanding of self. I can read all about Pluto and I can look on the NASA website and see what Pluto looks like and its history and whether or not it's a dwarf planet, still to be argued. Or I can go on a guided visualization out to the outer skirts of Pluto and all the ice rocks that surround it and have an intuitive journey, almost like a quest out to meet Pluto as if it were an archetype that I could have a conversation with. That's the approach that we're taking inside astrovibology. So what is astrovibology? Vibrational medicine in relation to celestial energies. What is the magic of it? It's the approach. It's the unique approach that we are not only sharing the information through, but also encouraging you to practice as an individual and as a practitioner.
I love what you just said. It really, it's so interesting to think about it in that perspective of like lenses in a way, right? So if we have, it's kind of like when you go to the eye doctor, you know, and they're like flipping through all this different lenses when you have this thing in front of your face. And like experiencing the planets as they are, plus through that filter of the zodiac, plus through that filter of the additional archetypes of like their, you know, corresponding tarot card. And like, it's just, it's interesting to be able to sort of, like you said, go on these quests to interact with these different types of planetary archetypes and be in conversation with them. And like, I think this has been so helpful for me in particular, and especially in the way that you do it, because like, I don't have a great relationship with, for example, like the energy of Taurus, and with a lot of that sort of like earthy energy. And I've been on multiple planetary quests that you've done, and it's every single time I walk away with something that just really enhances my experience with that particular type of energy. And I think that that has helped me so much more personally than just reading about these planets or this particular type of energy, you know, in any kind of astrology workbook or, you know, and don't get me wrong, I think there's a lot of astrological books that are amazing out there. I don't happen to have any. Like all the ones I've read so far, I'm just gonna like, okay, that's a lie. I have one that was really good that I actually extracted a lot of information from, and I felt like, oh, I know and understand this a lot better. But you just have a way, Vicky, of really painting a picture, but also helping us to really meet and embody the energy, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on that line of, so can we use Taurus as an example of an energy that you would like to work with more proactively or creatively? Like, yeah, for example, yeah, for what purpose? So I'm just walking the listeners through an example of how this could be used in a client session. So if I hear my client speaking about difficulty grounding in one's manifesting efforts and really celebrating the little milestones of having achieved a certain money goal or having bought a new house or like whatever materialistic outcome a client has been desiring, whether they have achieved it or not, I can look at, okay, so where can we now source vibrational medicine from to help you in your manifesting efforts?
Mm-hmm.
And my niche is in manifesting, so that's why I've like gone straight to this. But if it was of me being a relationship or health coach, just think outside the box of how you could also incorporate this into that. So then I'd be like, right, I would look at a natal chart for sure if I wanted to, but you don't have to. If I'm not an astrologer who knows about natal chart reading, I could go straight to, what's the planetary ally of Taurus? Ah, Venus. Okay, sweet. Maybe there's some vibrational medicine that Venus has to offer that I could invite my client to play with, either on the session or as a homework anchoring activity. So I would think about Venus being the planet of, oh, I guess a very much a goddess energy, but more than that is a Venus encourages us to celebrate the sweet things in life, not only to satisfy our desires for love and lust, that's a part of it, but also for beauty and harmony. So what if I see that my client, and then I could ask, like, is there something that we can celebrate now while you're still in the work of manifesting the thing? Venus encourages us to whistle while we work and put our feet up at the end of the day. Like, yes, enjoy what you're doing, love what you do. And how can we align your manifesting efforts to make sure you are loving what you're doing? This is all Venus encouragement right here. How can we emphasize that even more so that you are attracting, that you are a natural magnet to that which you desire? So Venus, vibrational medicine, helps us in Taurian outcomes, which is bringing the good stuff into life, manifesting, being in the here and now, grounding, manifesting efforts on earth and really enjoying them, whether that's through luxury sheets or repainting my bedroom like I did this weekend, right? Eating good food. We can see how Venus supports anyone in that given situation. So as much as I have all the ideas about what Venus could help my client do, my client knows which specific vibrational remedy they need. So I'm like, here's Venus, the archetype of Venus, if they have a tarot card. If not, I will, and I'll show it to them. And Venus is the Empress of the tarot deck. Take a look at Venus as the Empress. See what you see. Tell me what symbolism is alluring there, what you're feeling attracted to there, what you're magnetized within this image. So we're using a pictorial representation as like a point to relate to, I guess, to get a physical impression of the archetype, but also what one sees in that card that reflects self, what they would like to tap into even more so if they're not already. So there is a huge conversation there already within a session that we could explore. And I could also guide, with my client's permission, guide them on a journey, a quest, let's say, that helps them to have a personal intimate encounter with the archetype of Venus and the way that Venus presents itself to them. So I might give them a little bit of a clue as to what Venus looks like astrobiologically wise. You know what NASA will share with us? This is what Venus looks like out in space. So that they can get a sense of, oh, okay. And I might give a little clue as to Venus is going to help you enjoy the sweet things in life and help you celebrate all the manifesting efforts that you're putting in as they're coming back to you in little magical ways. And then I give them the experience of, I open up the container and say, okay, let's have you meet Venus. I'm going to prompt you to have a conversation with Venus. Maybe that will be one of knowing. Maybe it's a literal telepathic conversation. Maybe it is in the form of gestures or images, depending on which intuitive faculty they lean on the most. Whatever is transmitted in that experience is then received as insight. That in itself is vibrational remedy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such an important point, I think, too, is being able to have these encounters and be able to really experience the energy in this way versus just through reading about it or you know, like getting on the NASA website and like looking at pictures of the planet itself, but like being able to have that sort of like visceral experience with the energy, and also really that, and I think this is what I appreciate the most about how we've gone about this so far is, and I guess this is sort of the taboo way of doing things anyway, but really being able to look at things from a perspective of, it can all be beneficial and supportive. And so I know a lot of times, in particular, when you're like reading your horoscope or whatever, you know, where there's this sort of lens or emphasis on, you know, this planet is, they paint a picture of this energy that's very, you know, like one-sided almost. It's sort of how like in tarot, you know, there's certain cards which are perceived as the quote unquote bad cards. I think that we can see that as well within astrology, where we look at Pluto or we look at Mars, to be sort of the adversaries in a way where like we don't want to deal with that type of energy. And I think that it's important to be able to see where that can be supportive when we can really harness the energy in its most beneficial and most supportive sort of equal in that equilibrium of like, this is sort of a neutral space, even to be able to pull from that, because nothing is all one way, good or bad. There is this sort of neutral pathway as well. And we can be able to start to see things from a new perspective and remove those good, bad labels from things when we understand that it's all just energy and we can do so much with it.
And can we do something with it that is personal to us, right? Like, I know how me and Pluto jive, and it's not necessarily what I've read from a textbook, but from conversations that I've had with the archetype of Pluto in a meditative intuitive journey. So if I feel, okay, here's a good example. I could identify myself as an Aquarian, Sun in Aquarius, and take what all the books and all the horoscopes and all the articles I've ever read since I was 14, which is 30 odd years more, and identify myself as that based on the opinion of another. Mm-hmm. Or I could converse with the Sun and receive the vibrational frequencies of Aquarius, which is a zodiac frequency, and makes a sense of that in an experiential way that's personal to me.
And I love that this was our focus, because I think reading and being able to read a natal chart is great. It's important. Sure, absolutely. But I think before we even get there, it's more important to understand the energies before we even dive into the aspects of a chart. So I think it's good to highlight that even if we never talk about in Astrovivology 301 exactly how to read a natal chart, you'll still walk away from this course, even if you only take one, knowing so much about the planets and could really potentially be able to read different aspects of a chart just with this information.
Right from the very beginning in Astrovibology 101, the first in the series, we're going to provide information there where you can start really developing formulas. So if you wanted to look at your natal chart, there would be prompts that you could go into of, if, for example, this is here and you were born with this planet in retrograde, think about this, and this is what you could consider. So you can still take this course through an embodied experience, how it's specifically personal to you and your natal chart, or on a daily basis, regardless of when you were born.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to preface that we do share a lot of geeky astrobiology information and lots of astrological information, because when you are learning about a planet, for you to know, for example, why is Venus known as a planet of beauty and perfection and harmony? Like, why does it even have that character? We can look at the astrobiology of Venus and see how I'll share all my geek out stuff. Yeah. Just for a moment, I'm going to get nerdy with you. Over the course of 8 years, Venus sweeps out and does like an 5-pointed star pattern across the zodiac. And the pattern is known as the star or the rose of Venus. People may have heard of this. It approximates to the ratio pi, P8I. And that's what the Greeks called the golden mean, the golden ratio. It was considered and still is considered the most beautiful proportion.
Fascinating. See, who would have known that?
Venus is not just the planet of she or they who gives you permission to celebrate all the sweet things in life and to really enjoy them. Just by the way it moves, how it expresses itself in the cosmos, inspires us, actually compels us to look at our relationship to what is beautiful in our lives.
Yeah.
What is already a pattern of nature that we have within ourselves, every atom. How are we like Venus? We are all made out of star stuff.
Yeah, right. And like, I know a lot of people who sort of rely on that sort of sun sign only type of situation. And I think that's important to remember as well. Like, we've got it all. It's not just, you know, sun, moon, rising, and that's the only important part. like which planets are where. Like, we're made up of all of it. And so this energy and these relationships that we cultivate with the planets is relevant regardless of what your natal chart looks like. And that's just one aspect of it, like just one lens of it, but there's so many other opportunities and perspectives.
And let's take into consideration the perspective of the other while you're talking about this. So if I can understand the way that I embody and express and experience the energy, the frequency of Venus, and then I look to my wife and consider how she expresses and embodies and experiences the vibrational frequency of Venus. And when we come together, maybe we see Venus through different lenses. Maybe we see the sweet life and the good things. Maybe we see lust and pleasure and enjoyment in different ways. We are unique beings, of course. We're all made out of the same star stuff, but we all have different lenses, just as we have different worldviews. We have different galactic views too.
That's true though. It is true. We do. Like, it's just, it's so interesting to be able to like pull all of this apart and see where else can I apply this? And how can that application then change my relationship, not only to those energies, but within this relationship with my partner or my kids or my boss, you know, like how can we really utilize all of this to our benefit?
Shall we roll along with the example of Venus still?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So for example, if I am butting up against challenges in life, and let's use my marriage as the same example as well, and my Venus is in Capricorn, interesting that that's G's sun sign, and her Venus is in Aquarius, which is my sun sign. So in a way, we can kind of get a sense of how the other perceives the good things in life, the beautiful things, what would possibly satisfy us because we identify with the other zodiac frequency that they're familiar with. But for example, if I'm feeling, oh, let's go into Venus and kind of like shadow or lower expressions of how Venus shows up. Okay. What if I'm feeling frustrated or even jealous about the time that I'm trying to think of when I'm jealous with my wife? This is a really bad example. Let me think of something else. Okay, here's a good thing. I want to go out for dinner, have beautiful food in a beautiful environment, be served by gorgeous waitresses and waiters. And G's tired, doesn't want to go out, wants me to cook dinner at home because that would be something different. The idea that I won't get satisfied in that process could make me feel like, oh, fuck, like I don't, but you went out with your friend this morning. Why can't you go out with me? I could look at that and say, ooh, hi, Venus. Wow, really? Is that how you're feeling? Okay, I accept that as being a way that Venus, I get to experience this Venus star stuff in me. And can I look to what might be satisfying for both of us? There is no need for jealousy in this instance, maybe. What do I need? How can I ask for that desire to be met? And if it can't, fine, because I'm not trying to look outside of myself for desires to be met anyway, right? So I look to my relationship to Venus and say, Venus, how can you help me feel satisfied? How can, instead of feeling vengeful or jealous or frustrated or left out, can we have a healing moment, just you and I? And I go on to have that conversation with Venus, and Venus is like, yeah, let me soothe away those hard edges that you're facing right now. Like, let me give you some softness to the energy that you're feeling right now. Could you look into those things that you don't want to tolerate and bring softness to them? Can we bring something that you do love into this moment? Can we put your feet in a foot bath? Can I pour you a bath and put some Epsom salts and essential oils in there, right? Like, bring all those yummy luxurious things to the table. Can we just get your cozy blanket so you can feel comfortable about hopping on the couch tonight after you make the wife dinner instead of going out? Like, how can I meet you where you're at right now? And I'm like, Venus, thank you. You are the medicine I needed. There was no external validation or needs needing to be met. There was just me and Venus deciding how we want to experience life and love.
And my immediate Venus intuition was like, shit, put on a little apron and you be the sexy waitress delivering the food. I mean, you know, like, there's so many different ways that we could sort of like quell those moments of reactivity through this type of energy of like play, for example. And I think that's one that I don't always necessarily equate to Venus, but I'm like, well, yeah, like what is pleasurable or what is joyful to me personally? Like, play would be one of those things to sort of, you know, dispel any kind of frustrated energy around something like that. Cause I know exactly what you mean, where I'm like, oh, but I really want to do this. Okay. How can I detach from that and bring the energy that I'm looking for in this external experience into whatever it is that's happening right now?
Venus is the peacemaker. Like, Venus will, and whether that's like, put on some music that you want to hear instead of having to listen to the restaurant playlist, you know, like you can make this yours. I love your sexy apron idea. Like, let me be the waitress. Let me be the sexy cook, chef, and waitress in this moment. Wear something that feels exciting and pleasurable, even maybe lustful. Like, yes, Venus, give me more of that, please. I hadn't have thought of giving myself that remedy until you inspired it. And the thing is, all the planets are inspiring us all the time anyway. Are we listening though?
Mm-hmm.
Are we consciously looking up to the sky at night and Venus, oh my God, you're in the forefront of my mind right now. Venus literally is like the evening and morning star. Like, it is there whenever I look up.
Yeah.
So we might be reminded by Venus's vibrational medicine more frequently than what we are reminded of Pluto's.
Yeah, true.
But it is no more significant. Like, Pluto is just as much in my face every day as what Venus is, even though I can't see it visibly from my naked eye.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another sort of thing to think about as well, is like, where are we looking for the antidotes? Where are we looking for the medicine to that? And this is a whole other topic, but like, our attachment to the outcome of this, that, or the other thing, and how can we utilize then those types of energetics, like in particular, like with the planets to help us again come to equilibrium of how can I bring more of what I want into this moment? Then if this outcome isn't going to be exactly as I see it, or wanted to see it kind of play out, then how can I still move forward with satisfaction or joy or whatever it is.
Yeah. This is a kind of interesting topic to wrap up on, is that if we are expressing a planetary energy in a overachieving or an overactive way, we can bring in, again, I can have a conversation with Venus and say, I love you, but like, we're going OTT here a little bit. I love donuts, but maybe not three a day.
Why not?
And Saturn over here is like, hi, hello, remember me. Yeah. Can I help you with that? Like, structure, guide, like one donut once a week. How does that feel? Like, let's give you some boundaries and structure and a little bit of like withholding. So the other planetary energies come in and join in on the conversation. Mars is like, gym would be good too, honey. And Venus is like, yeah, gym, but she's really not into gym. And Mars is like, okay, can, what about yoga? And Venus is like, yeah, yoga feels good. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating when they all, like, when you get to know all the planetary characters as like daily contributors to your conversation that you're having with your superconscious self, things get really interesting. Things are so helpful. It's not just your higher self and your spirit guides having a chat, and
yes,
everyone's on board, which can be a lot sometimes. And that's why planetary energy can feel a lot. So you be specific about which energies you are working with and why, for what purpose. Why would I want to be working with Mars or Venus or Saturn at this time, mm-hmm. or at this time of day? If I need to rest, then I'm going to bring in the energy of Neptune. Like, can we just do some dreamscaping for a while, please? Right? Knowing these things helps us to be more proactive about how we have been and what we are doing in the world. Mm-hmm. Just like the planets all move for a reason and they have that purpose, ultimately, we do too. So it's like, can I move as the planets move and express my purpose as creatively and as enriching as possible, as impactfully as possible? Can I reach my potential? And the planets at the end of the day is all, that's all they're trying to do. They want to be in the cosmos, and we can help them do their work. We can help them be more self-expressed in the cosmos by either doing their work for them on behalf of them, by being the vehicles for their work, or supporting others who are doing the work. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big Mars energy, but my wife is, and I support her in helping Mars to be expressed in the cosmos.
Yes.
Oh, I do, but you know, Mars and Gemini looks a little bit different to Mars and Aries.
Yes, very, very true. But, and I mean, what more do we need to say than that? Like, that in what you just said, like, that in and of itself is like, oh, wow, that helps me understand, like, what's beneficial or what's supportive for me to be able to connect to or experience these planetary vibes and energies, and like, what's even the point? So I think that's, I mean, really, it's all just, like you said, another vehicle, and it's another lens through which we can experience parts of ourselves and parts of everything that we're connected to. So on that note, is there anything else you want to say about astrovibology before we wrap up?
It's an adventure. And it's a refreshing educational experience, because as much as we geek out on a lot of info, it's primarily an experiential learning. Mm-hmm. and we could talk about it, say this is what it's all about. I feel like we've articulated a really good chunk of what you could expect, and it's going to be different for everybody.
Totally.
Yeah. Your relationship to this information, this wisdom is going to be incorporated in your own personal life and your own coaching practice in a very different way to what I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone would. Yeah. It's going to be, as a practitioner tool, you get to incorporate this as a health coach, as a sex and embodiment coach, as a money mindset coach. Like, there is, you can safely assume that the planets are going to help you out with all of that in some way, shape, or form. And there's not going to be one issue or one thought form or one limiting belief that a client will have that you cannot speak to with the vibrational medicine of the planets.
Mm-hmm. 1,000,000%. And I know that all of this conversation is gonna make people want to know how they can sign up for Astrovibology and learn more. So we'll put all of that information inside of the show notes, as always. And this is one, like, if there's one thing, one course, can't even say it's my own. I could be like, archetypes and shadow divination, but no, really this one, Astrovibology is the one that I just feel like, man, boy, oh boy. And I guess depending on what you're looking for, but this one's got it all. Everyone could benefit from this. So check out those show notes.
I love you. I love your way to put that. Okay. And if you've got any questions, you can find us on Instagram, Taboo Institute. Mm-hmm. And also Joe is always inside the inbox at magic@LexiDeAngelo. So hit her up there with any questions, and I can chime in if you tag me as well. We're so incredibly jazzed about continuing this conversation in any way you need or want. So let us know what you took away from it even, so we can put more of this out there into the world. Yes. Thank you, Jo. It is an honor to be co-creating Astrovibology with you.
Thank you. I wouldn't be here doing all of this without you. So,
a little bit of inside love there. Right, me and Jo are going to sign off now and give each other a big kiss and a hug. And kisses and hugs to all of those who want it as well. So, until go well.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with me as much as I enjoyed recording this for you. And it would just mean the absolute world to me if you could go ahead and hit subscribe. And also, oh my gosh, you'd be the best ever if you could leave a review saying what you loved most about this show. And of course, feel free to share this with your biz besties, your mom, your dog, anyone who you think would benefit from popping their earbuds in and taking a little listen. I appreciate you so, so much. And if you want to come and hang out with me on the interwebs, do some stalking, do some creeping, then you can find me at Lexi DeAngelo on Instagram, LexiDeAngelo. And also on Facebook, you can find me facebook.com/TheLexiDeAngelo. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you next time.